we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we've got exciting things that we need to share with you today about some scheduling changes at Merritt Assembly of God. Normally, for most of the time we've been here on the radio, we've had a vintage service that meets Wednesdays at 11. But we have shuffled things around. A lot of our people who work during the day weren't getting their midweek Bible study service. And so we have rearranged our classes on Wednesday nights and our time frames. And so our vintage service is now going to be Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. It's going to run from 7 p.m. to 7:45. We're going to have our kids' classes. It is going to be a buzz of activity around our sanctuary. So we wanted to let you know that's tonight is our very first service at that. And I told you before we had some exciting changes that were coming, and that is one of them. So if you would like to come out and be a part of that, we are going to continue. Our service will be broken into three parts. It'll be broken into praise and worship. It'll be broken into prayer, and it'll be broken into studying the Word of God. So that's what it's going to be. And if you'd like to come out and be a part of that as we relaunch our Wednesday night ministry, you're more than welcome to do so. I want to also encourage you to keep an eye out at merrittassembly.com. Merrittassembly.com. We have a new website that we will be launching here in the very, very near future. It is almost done. Monday night, I was looking over the revisions they were asking me, and so there's going to be some tweaks, but we're probably going to go ahead and launch it, and then we will make the minor adjustments as we go along. So be looking for that in the next day or so, and we want to also encourage you to come out and be a part of our events this weekend and the next weekend, September 11th. We're going to be having special prayer for our country during that time, September the 11th. Also, for all of the kids that come September 11th through the 18th, we're going to be giving away a free pair of shoes. I always liked it when we went back to school because that meant I got new shoes, new clothes, and all of that sort of stuff. But we know that kids can be expensive, and we just want to help be a part. And so this coming Sunday, September the 11th, we're going to be measuring feet, taking names, writing down whether they're a boy or a girl, and then we will be going and buying the shoes during the week. And then on September the 18th, we will be giving those shoes away. So lots of exciting things going on there with our kids' ministry. September the 18th is going to be a combined service at our church. It's going to be a service where we've got all the kids and the adults in the same service, and that's going to be an exciting day. So let's get into the Word today if we can. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I know that it was a good time. It rained a lot. I went for a walk on Labor Day and got rained on during that, and then I was outside a little bit later and got rained on again, and so just about every time I went outside, I got rained on, but that cooled things off too. So let's get back into the Word today. We're going to be in Isaiah 37. I'm just going to begin reading here in verse number 1 because, as we've talked about in previous broadcasts, the king of Assyria had sent his spokesperson who was saying all sorts of horrible things about the nation of Judah and Hezekiah and God's impotence to be able to help them. And so now we're going to look at how Hezekiah responds. Now, I want to let you know that this was not the way that Hezekiah originally responded. Originally, when the king of Assyria had come, Hezekiah began to strip the wealth out of his land and pay that as a tribute to the king of Assyria to get him to withdraw. And I want to encourage you that whenever the enemy comes, you cannot negotiate with him, because once you have begun negotiating, the terms are going to change. The price is going to go up. It's kind of like, that's why you don't pay blackmail, is because it's not going to solve the problem. It is just going to buy you some time. And Hezekiah, after that initial response, chose a different course of action to respond to this latest threat. So with that in mind, I want to encourage you that if you have had a poor response to a moment of opposition that has arisen in the past, let's not repeat the same mistake over again. Let's try a different course of action. Let's try God's course of action, and make sure that we do things in a manner that is going to be pleasing to him. So Isaiah 37, verse number 1, and it says, "And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, 'Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left.' So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, 'Thus shall you say, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.'" We're going to stop the reading there. This time, instead of King Hezekiah trying to buy off his enemy, or try to buy off or pay off, pay the ransom in order to get this person to withdraw, this time Hezekiah turns to God. Now, remember, Hezekiah is identified in the Word of God as a godly king. A lot of times people think of godly and perfect as being the same thing. I want you to know they're not. I'm not a perfect guy. I have flaws. I'm not proud of my flaws, but you know, there's God's still working on me. The day that I get perfected and molded into the exact representation of what he's looking for, then he's going to say, "Have I got a place for you in eternity with me, and I'm going to be perfectly formed and fashioned for the location he has for me in his eternal kingdom. That's what I'm looking for." And so I'm not here to just repeat the same mistakes over and over again. I'm looking to provide a godly response to adversity that will bring glory and honor to God. And one of those things is you have to approach these situations in faith. And so it says in that when Hezekiah heard everything that the Assyrian spokesperson had been saying, that he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Now, they had a very visible manner of manifesting their spiritual desperation. You will often find of people donning sackcloth and ashes, taking off their normal attire and going around with this fabric that they would use to make sacks. Now, I don't, You know, when I think of that, I think of like a burlap bag or something like that. It's not comfortable. It's not something that's meant to make a fashion statement. What it is really saying is, God, there is such a desperate situation that is going on here that I am going to break out of my normal routine, and I'm going to clothe myself in the most humble fashion that I can, and I'm going to set myself towards seeking your face. And I believe that there should be some outward manifestations of the attitudes that we have going on inside. Now, I don't think that you and I necessarily have to go around, you know, wearing sackcloth, but I think that when we go into our prayer closet, that there ought to be a great deal of sobriety and a great deal of humility in approaching God and saying, God, this is a situation, this is what we're facing, and we are looking to you. Our efforts in the past have failed, but we are looking to you. How would you have us respond? How would you have us respond? The first way that I want to tell you not to respond is don't go moaning and complaining and saying, God, we're about to perish. Don't you care? Because when the disciples did that as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the storm came up and Jesus was asleep in the boat, that was what they said. Don't you care that we are about to perish? Please never accuse God of a lack of concern for you. He was so concerned for you and I, for our physical well-being and our spiritual well-being, that Jesus came and paid the price for all of the needs that we could ever have. He not only knows the needs that we have before we even ask, He knew the solution to the need before the problem ever arose. We'll see that here in a little bit, in a few chapters in Isaiah, where God's speaking of the deliverance before they've ever gone into captivity. And so he covers himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. How do I want to say this? When was the last time you saw one of our presidents who went into the house of God, not for a show, but went in there to hear from God? You see, in ancient Israel, there were three different national representatives. There was the high priest, who took care of spiritual matters, who acted as a mediator between God and man. There was the king, who represented God on an international level and on a domestic level. He was there not for the people to serve him, but so that he could serve the people. And then there was the prophet, and his role was to call people back into a deeper relationship with God. And when Israel functioned the best was when those three equal branches of leadership in the nation functioned in a cohesive spirit of unity. You know, here in America, we've got the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And all three of those things are always striving to be above the other. When Israel got into trouble was when the executive branch tried to usurp its authority, and Uzziah was a king, and he went into the temple to perform the function of the priest, and God was not pleased with that. He was afflicted with leprosy and ended up dying a leper, even though he had started off with great godly counsel. And so it generally helps when you were a king and you didn't have the greatest on-the-ground intelligence to be able to call the prophet and say, what would God have us to do? And, you know, they during the days of David and Saul, they had the Urim and the Thummim, and that was a way that the high priest could say, okay, this is what God is speaking in this situation. They functioned best as a nation when the king over the land had his heart right with God and was crying out to God. And so Hezekiah positions himself in the midst of this military adversary. He says, you know what? I can't afford not to go to church. You can't afford not to read your word. You can't afford not to be in fellowship with other believers. I've talked to a great deal of missionaries, and they describe how on the mission field overseas, that the spiritual warfare is so intense that missionaries from various denominations of different theological backgrounds, they said, we don't have time for all of the theological arguments because we desperately need the body of Christ. We need the body of Christ in order to survive and prevail here in these adverse conditions. And I want you to know that in these last, it says in the word, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, and even more as the day approaches. And so whether that day is the day that of your last day on earth or the day that the Lord returns and he carries us away, whatever, the longer you get, there should be a greater drive and a greater desire to be in fellowship with other believers. We need one another. At our recent leadership event, Duke Matlock made a statement. And by the way, I want to say thank you to everybody who came out for that. It was a great weekend. But he said, you need other people to speak into your life so that you don't get trapped in your own thoughts. And, you know, I have seen people who went in a loop. Their thoughts just were in this tornado of it was just a loop going over and over. It's like a record playing that whatever, you know, those of you who only listen to digital music, you don't remember the time where the needle would get stuck on a scratch of the record and it would take you right back to where it was before and right back to where it was again and over and over and over again. But that's what happens sometimes when we get trapped in our own thoughts. So we need people to speak into our life. This last Sunday as I was preaching, I said Christians oftentimes are accused of being closed-minded. I said, I want you to know that I'm not closed-minded. It's just that my mind has restricted access. I'm open to people who are going to speak words of life and words of faith to me. I am open to speak for people to speak words of encouragement and words of correction to me. But I am not open to people who are trying to set aside the Word of God, people who are trying to redefine morality, people who have a philosophy that's not proven. Those sorts of things I'm not necessarily wildly available for. Best practices, yes, I'll sit, I will listen, I will see what I can apply. But for others who just want to talk or want to complain, it's like I don't have time for that. Last week I got a phone call, and we have caller ID at our church, and may not always recognize the name, but I generally recognize a phone number from Brevard County when I see it because it's got a 321. And so this guy calls me up, and he gets the office manager and says he'd like to talk to somebody about how to be saved. And you know, salvation is top priority. It causes you to set aside everything else because God is in the salvation business. And so I don't care whether they're from California, which is where this guy was from, or where they're from. If they are interested in giving their heart to Jesus, I'm interested in talking to them. And so I answered the phone, and it didn't take long to realize that this guy wasn't wanting to ask about how to be saved. He had run out of people in his community to argue with, and so he had picked up a phone and he had called me, and he began to want to argue about a matter that that he had on his heart. And so I began to address the situation with him from God's word, and I began to share with him. And the more I shared about God's word with him, the more agitated he became, and the more the volume of his voice increased. And pretty soon after going through that a couple of times, I said, "Sir, I greatly appreciate you calling me. But you see, I don't agree with your point. I don't agree with your point because of biblical reasons. And I pray that you have a blessed day, and I pray that you'll be able to find somebody that you can have this discussion with to such a degree that it will satisfy you. But I'm not going to argue with you, and I'm going to go back to work now." And so that's what I did. I want to tell you today that the enemy would like to get us distracted from our purpose. And God wants to keep us in communion and in fellowship with him. Okay? And so Hezekiah, when he was faced with adversity, he put on sackcloth, he humbled himself, and he went in to hear from God. There's an interesting thing about Jonah. There's lots of cases where people put on sackcloth and ashes. There's one time where a king had sackcloth and ashes on, but when he went out in public, he put on his royal robe so that people wouldn't be able to see that he was actually, pretty distraught over the situation as well. Job, when he was faced with affliction, he put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. But when Jonah went to Nineveh, everybody there, from the king on down to the least of the people in Nineveh, they all put on sackcloth. And it said that they even put on, they put sackcloth on the cattle as well. There was an interesting thing that God spoke to Jonah when Jonah got ticked off because God was showing mercy. By the way, I encourage you, don't ever get upset with God when he shows mercy, because he has been merciful with me, and he's been merciful with you. And so we want to thank God when he shows mercy. But let me read to you this passage. It says in Jonah chapter 4, verse number 10, "But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Now, I want you to know, things that I read in the Bible, that sometimes they bewilder me, and it's like, why was God concerned about the livestock? The 120,000 people in Nineveh, even though it was the most cruel nation on the earth, it's the nation that was attacking the nation of Judah. It was the reason that Jonah didn't want to go there in the first place, is because they were the arch enemies of Israel at that point in time. But I can understand, God came not just to save the people of Israel, but he came to save the world. Why, but the question that bewildered me was this: why does God make mention of the livestock? And so I made it a matter of prayer. I went into the house of the Lord and I said, "God, what's the deal with the mention of the livestock there?" And you can take this or you can leave it. This was what ministered to me. And it brought resolution to my spirit. If you've got a better answer, I'm open to listening to it. But he said, this is what I got in prayer. It was, they were involved in the sackcloth. They were involved in the humility. Even though they didn't put the sackcloth on themselves, their owners did. There was such a national humility and seeking of the Lord and seeking for his deliverance that it impacted not only the people, but all of their possessions as well. And God took note of that. Can I challenge you this day here on the Refresh Radio broadcast, in a day where there is so much turmoil in the world, could we set our pride aside? Could we set our arrogance of our own opinions aside? Could we say, you know what? We are facing an adversary that we can't buy off, that we cannot overpower, but we have a God who has given us access to come boldly before the throne of grace. We are going to humble ourselves. We're going to seek his face. We are going to pray, and we are going to hear what God has to say. We're going to respond in faith. We're going to listen and say, God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? How would you have me to respond? And so it says, Hezekiah went in, tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And then he sent a messenger to the prophet Isaiah. And he gave them a message to say, and we'll touch on that on tomorrow's broadcast. The king never was meant to face the nation's problems all by himself. I was listening to WMIE here a few weeks ago, and it was a message by Adrian Rogers, and they asked him during that time if he was preaching on marriage at the time, and if he and his wife had ever had issues. And he said very early in his ministry that he was a very busy pastor. There was a lot of demands on his time, and he was not paying as dutiful attention to his wife as he should have been. And someone spoke to him, and I don't know the exact source, but he said, during that season, God spoke to me, and he said, Adrian, the church is my bride, not your bride. And, you know, as I was driving down the road and I heard that, it's like, you know what? That is a really good word. That is a really good word. You are the bride of Christ. I want you to know, I've got three simple rules, actually four. Don't mess with my wife. Don't mess with my kids. Don't mess with the church, and don't mess with my pastor. If you want to see the easygoing Oklahoma boy change in his demeanor, you just violate one of those four rules, and then you'll see that that my personality can be a little more intense. You are the bride of Christ. If the enemy's coming and attacking you and laying siege to you, would you turn to God? God is your caregiver. He will fight your battles for you. He will give you divine strategy. I pray today that this will be a day of blessing for you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.